Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, coming to you from the iconic Herb's House in Dallas, Texas. We've got a great study in store. I want you to be getting your Bible, if it's convenient, turning with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And the title of this devotion is Pray for God's Glory. Pray for God's Glory. And I want to begin by reading the verse, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. What we need to see here, Kent, is that everything begins with God, and prayer is no exception. Our prayers need to begin with acknowledging the one to whom we pray. We are coming into his presence. And we can't just simply begin with my needs. There may be emergency situations where we occasionally do that. But in prayer, Jesus is instructing us, we've got to begin by worshiping God and adoring him and giving him the honor and the praise that he so rightly deserves. Later in this chapter, in verse 33, Jesus will say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What a verse that matches up with this as it relates to prayer. So let's just look at this very carefully. He begins by saying we should address God as our Father. Do you see that? Our Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying here, don't pray to me, pray to the Father, the first person of the Godhead, of the Trinity. In reality, we pray to God the Father, through God the Son, in God the Holy Spirit. So our access to the Father is through the Son, and we are guided and led in prayer and energized in prayer by the Holy Spirit. But the object of our prayer is God the Father. Now, this tells us immediately that you need to be born again for God to be your Father. Otherwise, the devil is your father. And this is for believers only who come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we begin by acknowledging that God is our Father. And that should be an encouragement to us, because every father wants to provide for his children. Every father wants to hear from their children. And so God is wanting us to come to him in prayer. And Jesus says, now be mindful, our Father who is in heaven. That stresses his sovereignty, that he is high and lifted up. Psalm 103, verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. Now, this should be an encouragement to us in prayer, because this tells us nothing is impossible to God. No prayer request that we will ever bring to him is beyond his capacity to answer that prayer, assuming that that is God's will. And that it is in alignment with the character and the attributes of God. But he is in heaven, and so therefore he is ruling over the earth, and he is presiding over the affairs of my life. He then says we are to pray, hallowed is your name. The word hallowed means holy, set apart, to be revered. God's name is holy. The angels right now are crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, Isaiah 6 and verse 3. And so as we come into God's presence, we must come with a spirit of contrition and reverence and humility, acknowledging that we are praying to the one who is perfectly holy. And when he says, is your name, the name here represents all that God is, the sum and the substance of all that he is. So, Kent, this tells us that prayer begins with worship. It begins by acknowledging who God is, and a recognition, most of all, of his holiness. And every attribute of God is marked by his holiness. His love is holy love. His sovereignty is a holy sovereignty. And the word holiness also carries the idea of flawlessly perfect, and that we acknowledge that God is set apart from us. He's not on our level. We're not on his level. He condescends to come down to us, but he nevertheless remains holy God. And we may approach him only through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his sinless life and substitutionary death. So, Kent, that's a lot right there. That is a lot.
And I guess, in essence, it's a mindset as we approach the throne.
Yeah.
Question, Steve. As you said, we pray through the Father.
Through the Son.
Through the Son to the Father. How do you then, Steve, do you start your prayers? Do you say, Dear Lord, God, Jesus, all of the above? How does, because you hear a lot of different things, and I guess people are probably thinking that and trying to ask that question.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus is certainly emphasizing addressing God as Father, and that really stresses that we have a relationship with God, the Father, that we are his sons and daughters who have been brought into his family through the new birth, and that we are to acknowledge that he is over our lives, like a father has authority over his children, and a recognition that he is committed to meeting our needs, and that I need to do all things to please him. Now, there are many other names in the Bible that are given for God. We could go through the Old Testament. Time doesn't permit. But just to lay out Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, et cetera, et cetera. And it is fine to address God with those divine names that are given in the Bible, Sovereign Lord, Lord. But I think the primary focus should be upon calling upon God as our Father.
Mm-hmm. So, dear Father, or dear Lord, or
loving Father,
Holy Father,
all powerful, all wise Father. He loves to hear us identify him as our Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's great. That's a great.
So, what else have you got for us, Kent?
Well, I guess the other thing is when we talk about prayer. And you brought this up. What keeps us from not praying as much? I mean, we have here the Father. We have the Sovereign One who's ruling over all the affairs of our lives. Why? I look at my own life. Why don't I pray more if that is the case? You just said.
Yeah.
He controls the speck of dust that blows across the country road, as Spurgeon said. Why aren't we praying more? Why am I not praying more?
Let's look at your life.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's just examine it.
Let's examine Kent's life, why he doesn't pray more. Well, I can only speak for myself as well. You and I are probably cut out of the same cloth. Number one, we're very busy. You and I are both doers. And I think for men who are actively project-oriented, we just tend to just take the bull by the horn and try to do it in our own strength without remembering, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing, and how dependent I need to be. I think the other thing is you and I can be easily distracted by cell phones, by scrolling through a computer, by cable television, by people trying to get in touch with us, and it just pulls us in so many different directions that we take our eye off the ball, and we forget to be taking every thought captive to God in prayer. I think the third thing would be that we're self-reliant, and we think that we can do this in our own strength and in our own wisdom, our own ingenuity. And how many times have we really tried to head out in a certain direction? Those doors wouldn't open. We prayed about it, and God opened a different door, and it was like 100 times better. Mm-hmm. So it just is a reminder, Kent, to me and to you, that we just need to be taking everything to the Lord in prayer. Well, I hope this is an encouragement to you today to be in prayer, to address God as your heavenly Father. And I guess I would just ask you, do you know God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Is He your Father? And if not, right now, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and commit your life to Him. Confess your sin and say, Lord Jesus, save me. And when you are converted to Christ, then God becomes your Father, and you can pray to Him and come before His throne of grace. Well, thank you for joining us. I cannot wait for our next study here at Steadfast Hope.